This morning we have special readings from each of us as we've had the opportunity to share what God does in our lives, where he came from, and what he means to us. And when we look at that, we look at the idea of Christ being born. We celebrate that this morning, and yet we don't know the exact time nor hour that he was born. Yet when we come to the scripture in Luke chapter 1, verse 26 through 38 is what I will cover. And it says, in Luke chapter 28, it says, "Having come in, the angel said to her, 'Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women.'" And when we look back at what Mary knew much of Scripture and knew these things were prophetic, that the child would be born to a virgin. And yet she didn't ever expect it to be her. You think about her sitting there and pondering the idea, wait a minute, what is this angel coming to me, speaking into my life? But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, considering what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." And I know myself, many times when we think of God only speaking into Mary's life through this angel, that we think of God being God the Father. That's what I think of at first. But then I'm going, wait a minute, God is a triune God. This is Christ before being incarnate. This is the Holy Spirit at work there. This is God the Father, the three in one, the Almighty, the one that's over everything, the Lord God. And he's speaking into her life, and she's going, wow, you found favor with the Most High? I've found favor from this God? And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and we've called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. She knew this truth in Scripture that was spoken to her, and yet it's almost unbelievable. How could I find favor? And it is the same thing with us. When we ponder the idea of our salvation brought to us, that don't we wonder, why me? Lord, why me? Who am I that you should allow me to see and you to be revealed to me that I might accept you and say, yes, I believe? And yet he can do that and would choose to do that for all of the world because he says he came to save the world. It's not as if he came to just save us individually. Would long for that fellowship and that koinonia with each person that's in existence on the face of this globe. And yet there's those that will reject him, even this morning, that they'll say, Christmas, it's a holiday. Happy holidays. Just have a great time. And when you say Merry Christmas, some of them might stop and go, Merry Christmas? What does that mean? And yet to us, we know what it means. It's the birth of our Savior. Our salvation was born on a day that we're celebrating this morning. And we go, okay, so there's no end to his reign. He's eternal, the eternal God now manifest in the flesh. Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you." Therefore, again, stopping here just a moment, the idea is that many people think that how did God now have a sexual relationship with a fleshly woman? And that's not the case whatsoever. The power of the Most High overshadowed her, very similar to how the Shekinah glory of God would come down in the temple that they worshiped in and overwhelm her with his presence and in some miraculous way fertilize the egg that was within Mary herself. And we go, that's incredible. Now, we don't have a complete comprehension of how that functions, but it did function, and God gave us this as evidence and a witness to that he was going to overshadow her, and therefore, also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now, indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible. And thinking about that, her knowing Elizabeth and maybe hearing of Zacharias and the ability that he is not able to speak at this time, if you think about it, he now is there, the priest in the temple, and not able to speak because of this visitation that he received from the very same angel that said, no, you're going to be mute from now until the child is born because you didn't believe. And yet Mary says, from her. Now indeed Elizabeth is going to have this child. For with God nothing will be impossible. Then Mary said, Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. So she fell upon the angel's belief and said, I do believe, and I'm going to allow this to come to pass. And that's the beginning of Jesus' conception.
It is blessed to be able to gather and just talk about how awesome the Lord is. And last night, Gina asked me, are you going to get emotional? So whenever you talk, you get emotional. And I was like, I'm talking about Mary visiting Elizabeth. How could I get emotional about that? Wow. The King of this universe, the Lord of Lords, my Savior. Was coming, and he had to come in the form of a baby and learn how to walk, learn how to talk, just like we did. What can be emotional about that? We celebrate Christmas and give gifts, and he came here to be our Savior, to take our sins away. And yet here, everybody focuses on giving presents and getting presents, and he gave what no person could ever give. He took away our sins. How precious is that? But that's not what I'm supposed to read. I'm supposed to be reading about Mary visiting Elizabeth. So in those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And if you look in the chapter before this, it talks about the forerunner, John the Baptist, being filled with the Holy Spirit in his mother's womb. When Mary walked into this house, Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. The baby jumped. The baby was now filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, which is so cool when you think about the forerunner. When a king would enter the room, before the king would enter, the king is coming! Here's John the Baptist. The king is coming. I'm not worthy to wipe his feet, but here I am before I was even born, filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, and that's so awesome. You know, preparing for this, there were so many different things that went through my mind of how the Lord, when he's present, how he just shines out. When we talk about the Lord, how he goes out and does that work, here you see that. That's the start of, man, he shows up, and just look what happens. The world's changing. You know, as you go out and you share the gospel, you just share something about Jesus with somebody, and look what happens. It's not us that changes somebody's life. It's only him. But he chooses to use us in who knows what fashion. You know, we're all called to do different things. So it was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord would come to see me? Does she even know that Mary was pregnant? Mary didn't tell anybody. She went there. The angel told her. And now he's like, they both know. You know, when you look at Mary and Elizabeth, when they were both told, and one was older and never thought that she was going to bear a child. She says, how is this possible? Look at me. And then her husband obviously can't talk because of the, yeah, right. Okay. Here's a sign. You want a sign? There you are. Now you're stuck. You won't be able to say a word. And now Mary is like, but how is this possible? I've not been with a man. I'm just 15 years old, or ish. 15-year-old, just willing to be served, serve at the Lord, wanting to be used by the Lord. He says, I'll show you. You will give birth to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You know, every time I hear that song, Mary, did you know? Like, she may not have known what was going to happen to him, but yes, she knew that he was the Savior of the world. For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, my baby jumped in the womb and leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. And then hear what Mary is saying next, is she's also saying, yes, how awesome is the Lord. How awesome is God. And talks about her being blessed. She's not to be worshipped. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You know, there are groups of people who pray to Mary. The Bible says, pray only to me. You know, it's not about that. Is she special? Absolutely. She gave birth to our King of Kings. But she is not to be worshipped or adored. She's to be honored as awesome. My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me. And holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him. From generation to generation, he has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humbled estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped the servant Israel and re-embraced of his mercy as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever. And Mary remained with her for about 3 months and returned to her home. And this was probably so she could help out with Elizabeth, you know, until John was born. But you know, how awesome is this privilege that we get to see all of the stuff laid out. Just remember how awesome the Lord is and that he loves you.
Good morning and welcome on a glorious, blessed Christmas morning. I'm a little discombobulated this morning. I've been under a bug all week, so forgive me if I fall over. Luke 2, 1 through 7. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. Of course, all the world was the Roman Empire, which was at that point all the known world. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria, so all went out to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them at the inn. Of course, this is a story that the whole world probably, I guess, is familiar with, but I don't think that most understand really what was entitled or what was required to accomplish this. And we look at what's going on today and say, is God in control? And through this decree with Caesar Augustus, we see God's hand all through this passage of Scripture. It meets his eternal plan for our redemption. Because if we go back to Micah 5:2, Micah wrote, "But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth are from of old, from everlasting." This was written by the Old Testament prophets 700 years before Christ was born. So it was prophesied that he would be born in Bethlehem. So how did God get Joseph and Mary from Nazareth to Bethlehem, which was a distance of almost just under 100 miles, given the fact that in the day they were on foot? They didn't get in a car, and 2.5 or 3 hours later they were in Bethlehem. It took them 4 to 5 days of walking to get there through the wilderness. So God used the decree of Caesar Augustus that everyone should return to his own city. And of course, Joseph and Mary were of the lineage of David, so yes, they had to return to Bethlehem. And that is the way God used the decree that Caesar meant to oppress the Jews, if you will, to collect more taxes. God used that for his glory and for his good to draw and make our Savior be born where the prophet said he would be. Because if he hadn't been born in Bethlehem, let's say they didn't leave and he was born in Nazareth, then it would be a violation. He would not be the Savior who came to forgive her, to die on the cross for our sins. He would have been a false Messiah. So we see God's hand all through the Scriptures. And in this passage here, again, it's so familiar that people look at, oh yeah, they went to Bethlehem, and you know, but they don't realize, I don't think many people, the whys and the wherefores, that we see God's hand all through Scripture and his hand moving, so that even we see today with things that are going on, we see God's hand moving the puzzle pieces, if you will, to accomplish his end and for his glory and for his honor. And he used these people, Caesar Augustus, and the time to accomplish his end, that his son would be born in Bethlehem. And what is awesome to me is our God is so great that Bethlehem is also known as the city of bread. How appropriate for the bread of life to be born in the house of bread. I mean, God doesn't leave out even the most finite detail. You know, we think he's not watching or he doesn't have anything under control. As we say, he's got this. And he always has and he always will. So praise God.
Luke 2:8-20. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was an angel of there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men." And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heavens, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. And when they had seen this, they made known abroad, saying, which was told them concerning this child. And all that they heard, it wondered at those things which were told by them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. So I agree with John, and throughout those 12 verses, there is so much going on there where you see God's hand in that. And again, we, like John says, it really hit me that we know the story, but do we really know the story and what's going on underneath? I had an idea of what I was going to do on this, but I came in on Friday, and one verse jumped out to me out of all of the others. Verse 11. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Two things. Unto you is born this day. And I understand that it's speaking to the shepherds that are laid out in the previous verse, but this hit me, the word "you." I took it for myself. 2,000 plus years ago, in the city of David, someone of great note was born. That day, the shepherds received word of this event from the heavens, from the angels. But this was not just for the shepherds. It was for all. As we know from John 3:16, "For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son." In the city of David, those number of years ago, was born to you and to me. Also, a Savior and Christ the Lord. Yes, there was a baby lying in a manger. Though the child is just a babe, he was Christ the Lord. That's what really, really hit me, is that it wasn't that there was a young baby lying in a manger. Christ the Lord, our Savior, he was Christ from the instant he was born. So at this time of year, when we celebrate Christmas, we celebrate not just the birth of a baby Jesus. We also must remember that although an infant, from the beginning it was proclaimed that he is our Savior, Christ the Lord. And all they that heard it wondered at these things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart, and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. I like verse 20, that was the other one that stepped out. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. When we leave here today and we go back to our family and our friends and our relatives, when we do that, will we be as the shepherds that are in verse 20? Shall we return to our homes and our jobs and our hobbies? Will we return this day wherever we go, glorifying and praising God for all that we have seen and heard? This day we celebrate the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Will we leave here praising and glorifying God? We need to, you need to, and I do. I heard one thing this morning that even hit me more as I was heading in. J. Vernon McGee was talking about this. And what it was is, we celebrate this day, the birth of our Savior. But what's the important day? It's Easter. It's Resurrection Day. This is just kind of like a precursor to all of that. What's the important thing? That we leave here knowing that our Savior went to the cross on our behalf and gave up his body so that we might live forever. Remember that.
Merry Christmas and good morning. You know, a lot of times people tend to leave Jesus in the manger and they never let him out of there. It's kind of strange. And sometimes we even forget that the story doesn't end there. So this morning we're going to look at Luke chapter 2, verses 21 to 39.
And we're going to see that the story does continue. In verse 21, it starts, "And when 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, the name given him by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were completed, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and glory of your people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at these things which were spoken of him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. A sword will pierce through your very own soul, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Now there was one, Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. And this woman was a widow about 84 years, who did not depart from the temple but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all those who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. So when they had performed all the things according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own city, Nazareth." It's amazing to me how even in the early days that Joseph and Mary followed the law. They followed the law all the way through. And they took Jesus and presented him. And then how God's will was done in Simeon and Anna's lives because of their obedience. God used Jesus to meet the needs of others even as a baby. And today, if you don't know Jesus, or if you've left him in the manger, he desires to meet you and to meet your needs today. You know, the older I get, and I think that's why Pastor Bill gave me this, because I'm like Simeon's age. The older I get, the more I understand Simeon and his desire to meet the Messiah. And Anna served in the temple for 84 years. Can you imagine being a widow for 84 years? But she served the Messiah. But the cool thing was for both of them, when they encountered Jesus, the baby, they worshiped him. And they worshiped him not because he had a glowing light above his head or anything like that, but because he was the Messiah. And God had been faithful to them. And it says in verse 33 that Joseph and Mary marveled at the things that were spoken of him. Can you imagine Mary and Joseph? And I've thought a lot about Mary and Joseph over these past couple of weeks. We're not talking about super well-educated people or high society people. We're talking about lowly people. But they were faithful to God. They did the things that God called them to do. But they marveled. And I wonder, Christmas can become overwhelming sometimes, but I wonder, do we marvel? Do we still marvel at the things? Do we marvel at the things we heard this morning from all the guys? You know, he alone is worthy of our praise. And I pray that for each of us that God would prepare our hearts for a fresh encounter with him this morning. God bless you all, and have a Merry Christmas. Celebrate Jesus with your family.